Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Bench List, brought to you by Who Magazine.
I found the tonal shifts really jarring. And the main thing I found jarring was that Melissa George, as good as she is, and her power suits, her multicoloured power suits, it was like she was in a different show from everyone else.
It is a mess. It's like it's the biggest mess I've seen in a long time. It's like they threw so many things up against the wall to see which would stick.
Yeah. I just couldn't really connect with this show. I don't know. I just found it to be a bit boring. It's just not something I would normally watch, really. I think I missed the point of it.
Welcome back to Binge List, your weekly podcast covering all the best shows on Aussie TV. I'm your host, Matthew Denby, and joining me in the studio are Who Magazine's TV experts Gavin Scott and Ali Cromedy. Welcome back to the studio, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
This week we've got an Aussie TV special with lots of new drama, including Bad Mothers, Ms. Fisher's Modern Murder Mysteries, and The Heights. Plus, we're chatting to the governess from The Chase. Yay.
Yay.
Channel 9 is hoping for a hit with its new female-focused drama, Bad Mothers, starring Melissa George, Jessica Tovey and Daniel McPherson. Dealing with a bunch of clashing school mums, there's more than just parenting problems here. There's affairs, ugly feuds and a murder. Or is it? What did you think of it, Ali?
Okay. Well, it has to be said, they're trying to make Big Little Lies for Australia, but they're not really hitting the mark. Like, it's nowhere near, it's no Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and all of that. But I still really like it. Like, even though it's a bit predictable at times, I don't know, there's something about it that I like, and I like the cast, and I don't know, I've got a soft spot for it, even though it's not like dramatic gold, like, you know, TV. It's the best thing. It's not the best thing that's ever hit Australian TV, but I'm into it. I'm into it. What about you, Gav?
I could find myself watching it. But and I have problems with it, which I'll come to.
Problems.
But it is very watchable. I will agree. I think it's kind of what I was hoping for from Playing for Keeps. Mm. My issues with Playing for Keeps is that it took too long for things to happen, whereas a lot happens in the first episodes of Bad Mothers.
Yes.
So I don't think you're going to be bored by the first episode. You might feel like you've got, I don't know, multiple personality disorder or something, because it doesn't really commit to being one show. There is a bit of Big Little Lies. As you say, there's a murder mystery. It also feels a little bit Playing for Keeps. It's a bit soapy. It also feels a little bit like House Husbands in that gentle Aussie drama kind of way. And I wish they had have picked one of those genres and committed to it. It feels a little bit like it's hedging its bets instead of being, right, this is what we're going to be. We're going to be Australia's answer to Big Little Lies. We're going to be really dramatic and really serious and kind of go for that premium drama thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we'll try and do a bit of that, but then we'll also have some little
lighthearted.
Like, heartwarming mums in the playground talking about raising chicks.
Yeah, it takes you out of it a bit when they're not sticking to one lane. Like, when you like, oh, but there's like something really serious is going on here and now we're just drinking wine around the like kitchen table, like having a laugh about it and gossiping. I don't know. Yeah,
I found the tonal shifts really jarring.
And
the main thing I found jarring was that Melissa George, as good as she is, and her power suits, her multicoloured power suits, it was like she was in a different show from everyone else.
Yeah, totally.
And everyone else was kind of in a couple of different shows themselves.
Yeah.
But it's like she's in one show doing her Melissa George, international actress, acting.
Don't talk about Home and Away.
But it jarred with everything else because no one else had that same tone as she did.
Mm.
Matt, what did you think? I know what you think. Let us have
ready.
It is a mess. It's like it's the biggest mess I've seen in a long time. The saying tonal issues is an understatement.
Mm.
There's so many different clashing sort of tones in this. It's unbelievable. It's like they threw so many things up against the wall to see which would stick.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, it's it's beyond redemption. It's like, wow. Well, no, I'll say it started to coalesce into something resembling an actual TV show in the second part of the first episode. Mm. That's when I got a sense of where they were trying to go with it. Mm. But no, it didn't work for me at all. I've got to say that they just had no firm idea of what they wanted to do, or they didn't have enough confidence in what they wanted to do. Mm. And Melissa George, what is she doing here? She's definitely signed on for a different show than most of the other actors did.
Yeah.
She's quite good in it. She looks great. The wardrobe department certainly blessed her. She's
completely.
She's a fashion show in every single shot that she's in. She looks fantastic.
Yes.
But I think some of the other actors aren't as accomplished. I think some of the acting is extremely rough. I'm not going to say it's because they're not up to it. I'm going to say perhaps they weren't properly advised on what kind of show they were doing. Perhaps
that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, the production... perhaps
surely they're confused like us.
I don't think anyone knows. I don't think anyone involved in the show knows this is the show we're making, because what we're seeing on screen is three or four different shows. We've all picked that up. It's not one of us.
Well, they did have to scramble early on in the production because Jessica Murray pulled out.
Right, yes.
She was meant to be, I guess, Tess Halbrick's character.
Yeah, right.
But she had to pull out.
Maybe she read the script.
Yeah, she was like, not for me. But Tess stepped in, I guess, late in the game. And also, she's 28. How does she have kids? I mean, look, people can have kids young, and there is a character on the show who's had a kid at 17 or really young, and that's a part of her role. But Tess is 28 and has, like, really school kid age children. Like, I don't know how old the eldest boy is. Anyway, I just thought that was really confusing. It's just not explained. Like, she's very young. Anyway.
She's very young, and there is, as you say, another character, and that's her
that's
thing.
Her,
she's
the
young mum.
Yeah.
She's the young mum.
A bit erratic.
But the show does seem to centre around Tessa's character.
Yes.
Her, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it yet, it has gone to air, so I'm not spoiling it for people who have tuned in, but obviously her character discovers her husband's having an affair.
Yes.
And she's involved with the Melissa George character. She's involved with the other group of mums who are the bad mothers of the title. Although they don't seem that bad.
They just, as in, they just, what, have wine in the afternoon and, like, maybe forget to pick up their kid or, I don't know.
One of them kidnapped Melissa George's dog. That wasn't exactly...
That's not a great thing.
No.
But they're not that bad. And I'm troubled, but I'm not troubled, but I'm confused by it being called Bad Mothers so soon after the American films, Bad Moms.
There are just so many confusing elements to this show.
Why wouldn't you change the name?
I don't know. I remember when the show was announced and that was the title, they were like, oh, is it just, like, people ask me, is it just a remake of the movie? I'm like, I don't think so. So, yeah. Confusing times. But in saying that, I still like it.
I think people are going to enjoy watching it in the way that people enjoyed Playing for Keeps. And by the end of Playing for Keeps run, it had kind of settled into itself. I just wish Australian shows could get it right for the first episode instead of by episode 4 or 5 being, this is the show. Right, it's really good now. Yeah. It's like, well,
people aren't that patient anymore.
No, they're not.
So,
no, they won't wait.
No.
And I think if the show does end up finding its feet further down the run, perhaps they should have gone back and reshot the first episode.
Yeah, true.
Or dropped the first three and go start with episode 4. Here's our pilot.
Like, FYI, this is what's been happening.
Yeah.
Okay, now Bad Mothers is now available to view on 9Now. If you're interested, check it out and tell us what you think. The original Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries was a huge hit for the ABC and has been sold right around the world. There's even a feature film currently in the works. Now 7 is bringing us a spin-off with Franny Fisher's niece, Peregrine, stepping into her missing aunt's shoes in swinging 60s Melbourne. Is there enough room for another Miss Fisher or Ms. Fisher, Gavin?
I think there is enough room for another Ms. Fisher, especially since it is set in a completely different era on a completely different network with a completely different cast. Mm. It's basically a completely different show. There is a link to the original series, and the link is a little bit tenuous, you could say, but that's fine because the show isn't about the link so much. And so what I find interesting is when they set these spin-offs up, how are they going to do it? How attached to the original show is it going to be? Mm. And I guess the link here is that it's a similar feel to the original one in that you've got a really cool kind of female detective running around town solving crimes. But it's not you know, that's where the links kind of begin and end. Yeah. There's this backstory of yeah, she's this never-before-mentioned niece and, you know, some... And that's all dealt with really quickly, yes. And they kind of get in, get out with that and kind of say, here's the backstory, yeah. Here's how it's linked, now let's actually just get on with the show.
Yeah.
And I did like that about it because it does become its own show because of it. Mm. But really, it's going to succeed or fail thanks to Geraldine Hakewell, I think.
Yes.
And I really liked her in this. What did you think of her?
Yeah, I think she was kind of the perfect choice. Mm. I think she's fantastic and really talented and fun and great energy and looks great in 60s outfits.
Yeah.
And the hair and the makeup, that's what I really loved about this show is the attention to detail in like her – well, she's inherited her aunt's home.
Yes.
Amazing. I would live there. Loved all of that. Her clothing, her, yeah, as I've said, the makeup, the cars, just really killed it in that department. So that I just find that so fun. I love 60s type of stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it's got a good energy. And I love Joel Jackson in this role. He's a bit more of a, like, you know.
A straight guy.
Yeah, there's not a lot of humour or fun. No, he's no Peter Allen in this at all. So, but I think he's fantastic as well. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of fun in this show. And as you said, the same sort of energy from the original series. So fans should be pretty happy with that. Yeah.
Yep. Now, I think the location scout who worked on this show deserves a Logie, a special Logie, because some of the locations here are fantastic. The interiors are fantastic. Yeah. Whoever did all the interior design, the period clothing, really, really good, right on point, really good. I think the target audience for this show are going to absolutely love it. It's really well constructed in that sense. Now, Franny Fisher, they give us a little sense of what happened to her. Mm. I don't believe she's dead. Do you
no.
guys?
No.
Oh, no. They've totally opened the door. For Essie to come
she's
in if they
coming
can,
back.
If they can wrangle it.
Yeah, yeah. She'll be substantially older. They'll have to spend a lot of money on aging makeup. Or maybe people might want to remember her in her prime back in the 20s. Yeah, I think this is going to be really successful internationally because the brand is already so well established. Like the original series is on Netflix and Americans just love the original. There's so much buzz about it online. And we've also got the movie Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears, which is coming out. That'll be really interesting because that's got quite a budget. They've been filming overseas in some really exotic locations.
How fun. How exciting for an Aussie TV show.
Yeah, it's great in this day of streaming TV that shows like these can really take off internationally. So, yes, if you're interested in watching Miss Fisher's Modern Murder Mysteries, it begins on February 21 at 8:30 on the 7 Network.
Binge list.
The ABC is showing its commitment to local drama with its new 30-part series The Heights, beginning on Feb 22 at 8:30 p.m. Dealing with an inner-city tower block community under siege by gentrifiers and other social problems, it stars some familiar faces like Marcus Graham and Shari Siebens, and plenty of newcomers too. What did you think of it, Ali?
Come on, out with it.
I just couldn't really connect with this show. I don't know. I just found it to be a bit boring. I just didn't... It's just not something I would normally watch, really. I don't know. I think I missed the point of it. I don't know. And also, like, why is it called The Heights if they live in the towers? Am I missing something?
Well, I guess because the tower's high.
going back to the towers, like, wouldn't you just call the show The Towers?
Right.
I mean, that's just one thing. But, Good point. What about you, Gavin? Do you like it? Can you convince me?
I don't know if I can convince you. I don't know if I'm going to try. I didn't dislike it as much as you clearly did. And I wasn't into the first episode when I watched it. I did get sucked in a little bit, though, watching the second episode.
All right, okay. There's hope.
I think because this is basically a serial, it's like a Home and Away Neighbours kind of format. Yeah. They're 30-minute episodes. Mm. They're putting 16 of them up on iView straight away. Mm. So it is the type of show that you'd probably just go, right, oh, I can watch another one. I can watch another one.
Yeah.
And it probably... That will benefit it because if you watch one show, you're just like...
a week would pass and you'd go, nah.
Why am I getting 2 minutes of storylines from lots of different people?
Yeah, that's probably the reason I just didn't know who to connect to. I just felt I didn't have enough information on people, and they just didn't really set the scene as well as maybe they could have. But anyway.
Yeah, but then I think yeah, if you watch,
I guess that's the point. Of
yeah,
the, yeah,
it's yeah. So if you watch a couple of episodes and then you get a sense of, oh, this is who the community is, yeah. And yeah, there's people who live in this tower block, but the area around them is being gentrified, which we see a lot in the in the inner cities of Australia. And so you've got that clash between the old school people who have lived there and battled their life, and then these people coming in paying millions of dollars for houses that you know were run down and all that neglected not long ago, and they do them up, and suddenly the tone of the community completely changes. So that's basically the point of the show, and you see the characters from all walks of life, and I guess that's what I like about it, because compared to I guess a lot of you look at the soaps that Australia have had over the years, Paradise Beach, and those 90s ones where it was all about sun and surf, and that was what Australia sold to the rest of the world.
True.
This kind of shows this is Australia.
Yeah.
You've got a multicultural community. You've got different income brackets. You've got blended families. You've
and
got
not everyone lives at the beach.
Not everyone lives at the beach. Yeah. Not everyone looks like they live at the beach. And for me, it sits somewhere between Secret Life of Us and Neighbours, in that you've got the everyone's in each other's businessness of Neighbours, but you've got kind of like Secret Life of Us was a bit more of a, this is a snapshot of what Australia looks like now.
Yeah.
And I think it really pushes that thing with it. Matt, what's your take?
Look, I found it interesting. I thought it was quite a contrast to Bad Mothers, in that it probably had like 1/10 the budget. But despite that, it had a cohesion in tone and performances that were completely missing from that other show. Mm. So it's got a lot to recommend it in that sense. I think it's great that it's dealing with some marginalised communities and people that don't usually get exposed in Australian drama. That's the upside. The downside is that, unlike things like Home and Away, this is not escapist. It's not escapism. Yes. And for that reason, people who have come home from a hard day at work, or people who are at home, depressed and unhappy, they're not going to tune into this, because it is gritty and it's real.
Yeah.
It will find an audience, though, because it's quite good at what it does.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that the ABC is committed to 30 episodes up front. Great for Australian drama. Mm. I hope it does find an audience, but it's not going to be the people who watch Home and Away, that's for sure.
Mm. Well, that was my big question watching it. Who is this targeted at? Who
not
is going to watch this show? And it's got this Friday night time slot.
Yeah, which, that's interesting.
Which is when the people who watch things like Miss Fisher or Blake or those
that's
kind of
when
things.
That's the time slot that those shows had. Yeah.
But this isn't targeted to them. And I guess kids who might want to watch it because it's like a big school storyline, they could maybe watch it on iView because, kids don't sit down and watch TV when it's on these
days.
But would
kids, like, I can't see a teenager watching this show.
It doesn't feel
like
there's
no teen appeal.
No. So I'm like, who is it targeted at and who's going to watch it? So,
Okay, well, I do think it's worth checking out, so do try The Heights and tell us what you think. It begins on Feb 22 and will also be available on iView.
Binge List, brought to you by Who Magazine.
It's interview time, and if The Chase is Australia's favourite game show, perhaps our favourite adopted Australian game show star is The Governess, also known as Anne Hegarty. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Thank you very much indeed. What a nice compliment.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm really interested about, because I go to a lot of trivia nights myself, or I used to anyway, so I'm interested in your ability to retain and store all that trivia. But so when did you first realise you had a knack?
When I was a child, I remember my mother was obsessed with not putting any kind of academic pressure on children. And she had had Shakespeare shoved down her throat as a child, so she put the big Shakespeare right on top of the bookcase without stopping to consider that right from when I was a toddler, I was a very good climber. Ooh. So I climbed up the bookcase and I got the Shakespeare.
Kids want what they can't have, right?
Yeah, basically, yes. And I knew I was annoyed because I knew the phrase, to be or not to be, that is the question. I didn't know what came next. So I thought, well, that can't be everything he's saying because it doesn't make any kind of sense. So I read the speech and I read it over and over again and realised that I was gradually remembering more and more of it, and that I, in fact, knew the whole thing off by heart. So I discovered, wow, I can memorise things. And I started memorising things. I was always a curious child. I wanted to know stuff and about how things worked. as a quizzer. That's basically what one does. One reads a lot, one reads the news, one does quizzes, and when one comes across something one didn't know, one goes and looks it up. You know, there's the one answer to that quiz that I didn't get right. What is that what is that thing that I'd never heard of? Let me go and read about it. Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so now I know.
Do you have tricks for remembering things?
Well, sometimes. I mean, I sometimes use mnemonics. Mm-hmm. Mnemonics don't work terribly well at speed, so for the final chase I might try and use sort of word association. I use those sometimes if I'm deliberately trying to memorise something. But a lot of the time it's just if something interests me, and especially if I've been asked the question over and over again and I keep getting it wrong, eventually it'll go in, and the next time I'm asked it will be in a final chase and I get it right. That's what one hopes.
So what topic always stumps you?
It's no secret I'm really not that great on sport. I mean, I'm not that great on Australian sport, but to be honest, I'm not that great on British sport either. I try, but there's just such a lot of it. And with the exception of tennis, it sort of doesn't terribly interest me very much. Unless it's a big event. I mean, I did get quite excited by the World Cup last year.
So do you do studying for the show? Did you set aside time? That's like homework?
Not exactly. I don't exactly set aside time. I do a fair amount of quizzing. When I'm at home in Manchester, there are two quiz leagues that I'm part of. So I'm playing on a Monday night and a Tuesday night. I do online quizzes. There's an American league that I play in. There's also a website called Sporkle, which is a US website full of quiz games. And I tend to be on there, you know, at least once a day, just looking for new quizzes to play. And that'll be the one where, you know, I'll get everything right. There'll be 20 questions, I'll get 18 of them right, and two of them, when the answers come up, I think, I've never heard of that, let me go and look it up. And then you learn something.
Okay, so the persona of the governess, how do you feel about taking on that persona, and how is she different from Anne?
I sort of get into character as I'm being made up. Right. And then once I'm left alone to get the costume on, by that time I'm sort of looking in the mirror going, oh, yes, she's back. But she's kind of, I mean, obviously she's a bit me. She's a bit my grandmother. She's a bit one of my aunts. She's a bit Professor McGonagall. And basically she's a British battle axe who doesn't take any nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any acting background at all?
I don't really. I mean, I acted at school. Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to be an actress. Every little girl wants to be an actress. You know, we thought, no, don't be silly. You know, nobody is ever really an actress. Real people do sort of real jobs like being teachers or something. I would love to do more acting.
Yeah.
I do panto at Christmas. I used to get terrible reviews. The reviews have got a little bit better, so maybe I'm getting better. But I always feel, I mean, my job basically is to be the famous person that people come to see, and then all the professionals are around me to actually, you know, do the work and make me look good. I'm doing my best, you know, but I never expect to be as good as the professionals.
Yeah, yeah. And you must have some strange experiences with people thinking that you are the governess.
What I really have is this is something our first producer warned me about. She said to me, they've seen you in their living rooms, they think you're their friend. And what I have really is this thing of everyone thinking I'm their friend, everyone thinking I'm their mum. People just chattering away to me, as if I'm a member of their family.
Yeah.
And sometimes I sort of think, yeah, that's lovely, except I don't know who you are. And I just came here to do some shopping. Can I please just do the shopping?
Yeah. Do you have a defining memory of when you first realised you were famous?
It's hard to be sure. I mean, the fame suddenly ramped up a bit. In about early 2015, I joined the show in 2010 in the UK. And for a long time, we were getting fantastic ratings and no media attention at all. We used to say to each other, the only people who think we're famous are the public.
Yeah.
And then in early 2015, a show, I think it was tried out here, but it's a huge hit at home, Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway.
Yes.
Yes.
They did a sketch where Ant dressed up as me and pretended to be me. And then I came on at the end and sort of went, get out of my seat. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be a point at which the press sat up and took notice. Right. They were like, ah, the entire audience knew who Ant was being. Yeah. You know, we should be the only ones who didn't. Let's try and catch up with this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a couple of months later, I got asked to do the Australian show, which obviously, you know, was fantastic. And yes, it did. It ramped up then. It ramped up further. Certainly for me, it's ramped up further as a result of doing I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah. Yes.
And now, yeah, basically, you know, I can't have a meal in a motorway service station without three people wanting selfies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it's got to the stage of, okay, I'll just pull into the actual fuel bit and go and buy sandwiches and then escape.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Wearing your dark cap and your, you know.
I've actually, do you know, I swear this is absolutely true. I was stuck in a traffic jam on a small motorway in Manchester, and this was actually last August when the news had been leaked. No, it wasn't August, it was more recent than that, maybe October. The news had been leaked that I was one of the people that was going to be on I'm a Celeb, and of course it wasn't confirmed.
Right.
But I can remember being stuck in this traffic jam, and next to me there was a van, and the guy looked out and went, and I swear, he sort of, you know, gaped at me and pointed at me, that this is the first time in my life I've ever done this. I actually reached into the cup holder and put my sunglasses on.
Yep,
wasn't sunny. I was just like, no, guys.
Not today.
I want to be alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just felt an awful diva thing to do. But I was like, guys, I can't handle it right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about I'm a Celeb. So that was something I've heard you say you never wanted to do.
Yes, I always said there's not enough money in the world.
Yeah, and then what changed?
And, what changed was my agent said to me, look, I know you've always said you don't want to do it, but they want to come to Manchester. They never leave London, but they want to come to Manchester and take you out to lunch.
Yep.
And they work on other shows, so you might make some contacts. So just do a bit of go there and do a bit of networking.
Yep.
And really, they were just all so charming.
Yep.
And I realised that afternoon that I was feeling a sort of mindset change.
Yeah, yeah.
I could imagine doing it, and I had never been able to imagine it before.
Yep.
Of course, once I went in there, I realised I hadn't imagined it sufficiently. Because I always say, nothing happened that I should not have expected.
Yep.
It was just making it real to myself, realising, yeah, this is what it actually feels like, that, you know, you don't know where to go to the loo, you don't know where to wash.
And what's coming next.
And absolutely. And every time a leaf falls on your head, you're like, ah, this spider just fell on my head. And I just woke up screaming.
Oh.
It was very tough the first few days.
Yep.
Just it being such a physical effort to actually work out how to do anything.
Yeah.
And autistic people, we tend to, you know, we can be very smart, but we can process stuff quite slowly.
Sure.
So we need to be warned and we need to not be ambushed.
So as we were discussing just before the interview started, you do spend a lot of time in Australia.
I do seem to, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of it? Would you ever move here?
I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine moving here because there is so much work now happening in the UK.
Yes, popular.
I mean, I love coming to Australia. The best thing about Australia is it's full of Australians.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just get each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Americans, but with Americans, you always have to tell them if you're about to make a joke. okay, is that a joke? Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm British and my lips are moving, so what do you think? With Australians, you don't have to warn them. They expect you to make a joke.
Special relationship we've got.
You know, I love working with the Australian technicians. It's brilliant.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, good to hear.
All right, well, thanks very much for joining us today, Anne.
That's okay.
And you can see Anne on The Chase Australia weekdays on 7 at 5 p.m. and also on 7+. This week's hidden gem is Sisters, which started out on Channel 10 and has a new audience now on Netflix. What did you think of it, Ali?
Well, I really love the premise of this show. I think it's kind of weird and gross. I'll explain it before I get into that. But yeah, so Sisters is a drama. It centres on the character of Julia. She's an only child, or so she thinks. When her life turns upside down when she finds out that her father, on his deathbed, he reveals that over the course of his career as a fertility doctor, so he's an IVF sort of
specialist.
Yeah, he's like really paved a huge career in that. He's used his own sperm to conceive dozens of children. So yeah, not the most professional doctor, it seems. So anyway, as she dutifully begins to track down her emerging group of siblings among a sea of brothers, so she's got heaps of brothers, she's only got two sisters. And, yeah, one of them is a troubled children television star, Roxy, and the other is a lawyer, Edie. So it becomes all about, like, her trying to forge a relationship with those two women, and then also just dealing with the fact that her father did what he did. Pretty gross. But, yeah, as you said, Matt, the show started on Channel 10 in 2017, late 2017. It only had one season on 10. Then Netflix adopted it last year. With the hope of a second season, I guess, to be made. But there has yet to be one. But now we've learnt that Fox in America are going to remake Sisters. I think it'll be called something different. But they're going to, yeah, make their own version, which is exciting for an Australian TV show. But I am confused where that leaves the original, if we're still going to get a second season on it. I feel like we probably won't. What do you think, Gav?
Yeah, there was a lot of rumours and stories about there being a second season.
And hope for it.
The Netflix thing was seen as a great thing because, like, with the letdown.
Yes.
You know, that's going to go to a second season, but I guess Netflix were involved with that from early on. But yeah, I guess why bother remaking it? Because it's obviously, if it's a good show, I haven't watched it. Is it a good show?
Yeah. No, it's fun. There's a good energy to it, and it's made by the writers who've made some other really popular Australian TV shows too. So it was in good hands. But yeah, the fact that Netflix adopted it and is calling it an Australian original. Their own Australian original, I feel like that means there's a second season coming, but yeah, I'm confused. Either way, it's worth a watch.
Right.
It's a pretty gross premise, but and there's been a lot of stuff in the news about this really happening, even on 60 Minutes on Sunday.
Right.
There's a guy trying to have babies and yucky. It's a topical situation.
If nothing else, it'll be worth watching this and then comparing it to the American one.
Because
often, remember what the Americans did to Kath and Kim?
God, butchered. Yeah, they terrible. Often can butcher things big time.
Okay, yep. And Sisters is available now on Netflix. Thanks for joining us this week on Binge List. It's the final episode for us, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners for making it so much fun. On the phone, we've got Binge List original Claire Rigdon. It's been a real hoot, hasn't it, Claire?
Oh, hi, everybody. I've missed you all. Yeah, I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. It's really been fascinating to get lots of feedback from all our listeners and find out what you guys are into and what you're watching. And yeah, it's been a really awesome year for TV. I've discovered stuff that I probably wouldn't normally have listened to or watched. So I just want to say thanks to Matt and Gav for introducing me to the wonderful world of true crime and all sorts of random RuPaul's Drag Race facts that I probably wouldn't have already known. So yeah, I just want to say a big thank you.
And all the debate we had, all the arguments, all the...
Wrong.
Oh, yes. The number of times Matt told us we were wrong, and the number of times, actually, he was wrong.
Oh, that's
totally. Debatable. 100%, Gavin.
Yeah, we've also had a lot of fun with Ali. Thanks very much for joining us this year, Ali.
My pleasure. Short but sweet, but I had the best time. I loved it.
Now, if you've loved this podcast, then we think you will also love Real Talk. Join entertainment gurus Holly and Ali as they talk all things reality TV, pop culture and celebrity. Or why not tune into Who Are You, hosted by Pete Timms. He interviews a different celebrity each episode and delves into what makes them tick. They're all available on iTunes and Omni, so do check them out. So this is it, a final goodbye from the Binge List team. It's been a lot of fun. Happy viewing, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye.
Cheerio. Bye.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.